No better place to be than in the presence of Jesus. Oh man, making all things new, making all things new. Not what they used to be, better than they could have ever been before, right? New, right? Like those commercials, free, for free. Jesus, he doesn't make things just new. It's new, like can't wrap your mind around it new. It's awesome. We're going to be talking about the love of God. It's not just a Valentine's Day thing, right? It's a life thing. It's not just a mushy, gushy, emotional thing. It's like a brave heart, I'm going to lay down my life for what God's calling me to kind of thing, right? Because I'm telling you, Jesus has called each and every one of us to pick up some crosses and to bear them, right? That's a pretty tough kind of love. And I believe that Jesus is even kind of showing you right now those things. Because none of us want to take up a cross. Don't feel bad. Jesus did not want to take up his cross. I'm glad that the Word of God includes that. That he struggled to take it up. And he prayed, if there's any other way for this to happen, you just do it that way. But if not, I'm going to do it. And it's just time for the body of Christ to rise up, for us to man and woman up, and to do what we know God wants us to do, right? It's not easy. It's going to take sacrifices. It's not going to feel good from time to time. But I'll tell you what, in the end, look where Jesus is. It's empty, right? It was temporary. It was a season. And look at what he received as a result. The glory that is awaiting you on the other side of that cross. And I'm not just talking in the end. I'm talking in this lifetime is worth it. Pick it up. Take it up. Endure that season of discipline and endurance. Because the glory waiting you on the other side, Paul said it was far exceedingly worth any light and momentary troubles that he dealt with, right? So yes, the glory of God is being revealed. So we learn about the love of God in 1 Corinthians 13. And we learn there's many different types of love and how it's only through relationship that we can receive and express love. It's just the way God created us. And although there's lots of different types of loves and relationships, there's one kind of love that we are commanded to express in every relationship, whether it's a friend, a spouse, a child, a mother, father, I mean, you name it, your co-workers, your enemies. Literally, Jesus commanded us to love everybody this way. And Paul kind of broke it down in 1 Corinthians 13 for us to help us to understand the love of God, what it looks like, how it behaves, how it acts, and the command that if we live our lives and we don't live it in this love, that we're wasting our time. We're wasting our breath. We're wasting our energy. And I don't know about you all, but I don't like spinning wheels. It's fun when you're doing donuts, you know, in the winter. But if that's all you ever do, it gets old in a hurry. Becky's not here this morning, but it gets old to her way faster than it does for me. You know? It gets old to her as soon as she sees me fly into that lot. She's like, seriously, would you just grow up already? 8 times later, I'm like, all right, I think I got it out of my system, you know? Sorry, it's fun. But we're created with this need for love. And so Paul breaks it down in here, and you're going to hear it 100 times over. But Paul said, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but I have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have not love, I'm nothing. If I have faith that can move mountains but not have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor, if I give over my body to hardship that I may boast but not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. And this week we're learning that it does not boast and it is not proud. So love is not boastful or proud. And I'm kind of combining these together this week because they're so related. One kind of feeds into the other, as we're going to learn. But most of us have encountered this type of person before, right? That the loudmouth, the one-upper, you know, this kind of guy. Let me tell you, I can preach on pride because it's a struggle for me. It hits home and it hits hard and it's ouch. And I look back at my life and I'm like, how in the world could have I ever said that or thought that? Like, you ever look at that? You look back at your life and kind of disgusted at yourself. Like, what were you thinking? What was your problem? Yeah, this is a tough area for me. But this loudmouth, right? If you come and you're all excited and you tell him, man, my kid, he earned a 3.9 GPA this semester. His kid earned a 4. right? You know, if you worked 50 hours last week and you're just exhausted, he'll be like, oh man, you have no idea what I did at work. And man, I was there for 60 hours straight. Like, I mean, 3 days on end, 60 hours, you know, they wouldn't even give me a break. Couldn't even eat lunch, you know, one up. You know, if you're like heartbroken, you're like, man, my mom, I just found out she has stage 3 cancer. He's like, I feel for you, man. My mom, she has stage 4 cancer. No matter what it is, they always have to one-up you. Even if it's something, it's like, why would you even want that, you know? You know the kind of person, right? We've all encountered them. And everyone's like, yeah, preach it, Steve. You're that guy I'm thinking of. But let's be honest. When we're around that kind of person, you don't exactly feel love, do you? In fact, if you were to describe how you feel around them, love's probably the last thing that would come to mind. Right? You know, the kind of person you kind of want to avoid. You don't want to be around somebody like that, just boastful and arrogant and proud and just always better than you, right? Now, here's how the enemy works, okay? Now, you got to understand that Satan, the devil, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, he was a created being, okay? He does not have creative authority or power. So all that he can do is take what God created and pervert it and twist it and kind of use it against him, right? That's all he can do. He's kind of limited in his power and authority that way. Well, what the enemy likes to do is to take what God created as good and twist it. And pride is no different. There's actually a good type of pride. There's a healthy kind of pride that we were created to experience. It's that sense of a job well done. Or a reward that you worked hard for. You earned it. You worked hard. You gained it. It's okay to be proud in those situations. You did something. You know, you achieved something. You accomplished a goal. That is not at all the type of pride that we're talking about this morning. That is a healthy kind of pride. We're talking about the opposite type of pride. The pride that we're referring to is the kind of pride that it puffs oneself up, right? Looks down on others. It's one that thinks more highly of themselves than they ought to. You think more highly of yourselves than you ought to. I'm going to have some GIF fun here for a few seconds. It's the type of pride revealed in a person who they can't learn from anyone, right? You guys ever watch Sherlock? You can't learn from anyone because you just know everything there is to know about everything. Anybody ever meet a person like that, right? You know, you probably meet them in your workplaces. You know, you're trying to train. Don't you love that? A new person comes on, I think, yeah, you try to train them how to do their job, and they're like, you do it that way, forget about that, I'm doing it this way. You know, they think they know better than you, right? They just know everything there is to know about everything. The person who's never wrong, right? And if they are, well, I'll tell you what, it was somebody else's fault or it was something else's fault, you know? Yeah, I was wrong, but, you know, if this hadn't happened, I would have never, right? They can't just be like, I blew it, I'm sorry. There's always a reason behind it. That was, ask Becky, that was me for a long time, you know? You can't just stop there. It's a person who thinks they're better than other people, thinks that they can do a better job than everyone else. You know, whatever that case might be, you know, you always see a flaw in someone else's work and how you could have done it better. The person who just consistently looks down on other people, you know, or the person who only helps people or whatnot so that they can kind of somehow prove that they're better. You know, it's the type of person that always feels that they're more valuable than others. They have something better to offer. That's the type of pride that we're talking about when we say that love is not proud. That's the unhealthy type of pride that we're looking into this morning. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about that kind of pride. And it's all ugly. None of it's good. I'm just going to read a few verses here for time's sake. But, you know, you can look into some of these. James chapter 4, verse 6, we've all heard this one, that God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. And of course, the scripture this morning from Micah that Sharon shared, perfect, spot on, like it's the message in a nutshell. Chapter 10, verse 4, in his pride, the wicked man does not seek God. In all of his thoughts, there's no room for God. You guys find yourself thinking about God less and less? Maybe an indication that there might be some areas of pride there. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Proverbs 13:10, where there is strife, okay, is there strife in your life somewhere? You are dealing with pride. You have a prideful, arrogant heart. I'm going to hurt some feelings this morning because I'm preaching in the mirror here. If there's strife in some relationship or in some family, you've got some pride you got to deal with. It's just what the Word of God teaches us. And I love it, but buts are big in the Bible, right? Where there's strife, there's pride. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. It's a pretty big antidote for pride. Humble yourself and take someone's advice. Give it a try. Even if you think it's stupid and lame and what can I possibly learn from that person, you know, take some advice. I mean, if Balaam could learn from his donkey and hear the voice of God through it, surely there's better than donkeys sitting around you, right? They might have something good to offer. Give it a try. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before a destruction. Pride goes before it. Destruction follows. And a haughty spirit before a fall. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it doesn't come from the Father, it comes from the world. 1 Corinthians 8, chapter 8, verse 1, we know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, while love builds up. And it was actually pride itself that caused Satan to change. He was created the most beautiful in all creation, the guardian cherub. I mean, he was just the best of the best of the best. That's how God created Satan. He ordained him from the beginning. Yet he became an enemy of God because pride seeped in. And he thought, I could be like God. I could be like God. I could be like him. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 17, God said about him, as sort of, when I read Ezekiel 28 about like Satan getting kicked out of heaven and all these things, like I read that with like a tear in God's eye when he talks about him. He says, your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. And you see, every single one of us are prone to this unhealthy type of pride, to think we're a little bit better than we actually are, right? We all have a tendency to think that way. We're all sensitive and prone to this. The most significant difference between healthy pride and unhealthy pride really comes down to this. It comes down to love. It comes down to the way that it's expressed. It comes down to what we're thinking and what's in our hearts. Unhealthy pride, it boasts in our personal strengths and accomplishments. Unhealthy pride looks down on others thinking that we're better than them somehow. Unhealthy pride, it's selfish. It is interested in using or diminishing the success of others. You're either going to step on them to push yourself up higher, you're going to team up and buddy with somebody because they can get you someplace or offer you something, or you can diminish them, right, so that you look better. In its essence, unhealthy pride is selfish, because that's the spectrum of love. It's not love to hate, it is love to self. It is selflessness to selfishness. That's the spectrum of love in the kingdom of God. The opposite of love is not hate, the opposite of love is selfishness. Me, 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 thinking about me and all about myself. Healthy pride, it honestly reflects on our own personal strengths and accomplishments. You have a gift of God, you have a talent of God, you're good at something. Don't minimize it. It's okay. That's who you are. It's who you're created to be. You can honestly acknowledge that and admit that. This is a strength of mine. This is something that I accomplished. This is a goal that I achieved. You can be healthily prideful in that. It's okay. Healthy pride sees also, though, the value in others. How we can work together to accomplish something great. And it's not that I'm better than you or you're better than me. It's just we work together. You have gifts I don't have. I have gifts that you don't have. We're honest about those things. Healthy pride expresses love because it helps others to be successful too. You teach other people how to be successful in the ways that you've been successful. Not because you're better than them, but just because you know you possess something they don't have and you want to give it away to them freely. That's a healthy pride, you know, that you achieve something. Healthy pride is selfless. It's always thinking of how you can benefit other people. You know, if you achieve something or attain something in your life, how can you use it to benefit other people? Not just to push them down and to make you look good. Because love is not proud. It's not proud in that negative sense. And so, sort of as an example for us to sort of understand how this works and how this operates, God kind of gave me this picture. So, this is us before we met Jesus. We were kind of wimpy, you know, not really much to look at, kind of limp and wrinkly, you know. And, you know, we can try to do things with our lives, right? We can kind of stretch ourselves out and try to make ourselves look pretty good, but in the end, what happens? It's not very long-lasting, is it? I can just love what this guy's doing with his life and be like, you know what, I want to be like him. And so I stretch myself out and I'm like, yeah, I look like him. This is my life now, you know, right? And it's not very long lasting. It's this is not very attractive to anybody or anything, and honestly just rubs everyone the wrong way, you know? Yeah. Oh, it's going to get weirder, buddy. And then you know what's coming, right? You give your life to Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't change you on the outside. He doesn't change who you are and who you were created to be. He just takes you and he fills up your life, right? And so you're transformed from the inside out. Sorry, I'm working on half a lung here, so be patient. So he transforms us from the inside out. And all of a sudden, we haven't changed, but Christ in us has changed us. Right? Now all of a sudden, we're different somehow. We serve a purpose. Our lives are full. Our lives are, in fact, overflowing. You know, if you want to let some out, it may not be attractive to everybody, but you know. But your life, it brings joy to people. You know, you hand a kid a little limp balloon and it's not near as exciting, but man, when you go anywhere, if you go to like a fair or to a circus or something and you see those balloons hanging, kids just flock to it. I want one, I gotta have one, right? I remember when we were little kids, we had Ponderosa and they always had a balloon that they gave you, you know, just, you wanted it. It brings joy to your life, right? It's happy. It's attractive. People want it. And the only thing that changed about it is now its life has been filled with something. Of course, we know that's Jesus filling us with the Holy Spirit. It changes us. It transforms us from the inside out to be something better than we could have ever been on our own. Because I'm telling you, I can let these balloons lay here for years, surrounded by the same air, and yet they will never change. Only God can breathe life into situations and circumstances to bring transformation. He's the only one that can do it. It's all around us, but only he has the power and the authority to do that, to transform lives like that. So, this is great. If that's where you're at, this is a healthy place to be. Okay? You are loved by Jesus. You are drawing people into him. And you're telling people, look, if you give your life to Jesus, he'll do this for you too. It's a healthy place to be. But so often, pride seeps into our lives. And we start seeing all these other people. And we start seeing these new believers. Right? They come in. And, you know, they got the initial deposit of the Spirit. But, man, life's hard. And as they're living their life, like, things happen. And instead of being like, you know what, let's go back to Jesus so he can transform you again and fill you up, we're like, look at you. You didn't even last a week, and already you're back into that sin again? You just gave a testimony on Sunday that you overcame that thing. And yet here you are, right? What does that do? Right? Pride, it boasts. It puffs up. So what we start doing is we're created for a degree of this. But if we start boasting in ourselves, and we start puffing ourselves up, well, it doesn't take long before something happens, right? Sorry. It's more fun when the anticipation's there. Because it's a slow fade, isn't it? It doesn't happen overnight. Your life still looks pretty much the same. Being puffed up, you can only do that for so long until something breaks and something gives, right? So that can happen. You puff yourself up. In pride, you think you're better. And you puff yourself up, it's only a matter of time before your bubble's going to burst, right? Now, let's say there's another life that's been transformed. And you don't really think more highly of yourself than you ought to. You don't really puff yourself up, but you notice this other guy who is looking down on the unsaved or those who are just saved and they're not really that transformed by the Holy Spirit yet. Still got a lot of flesh, still a lot of work to do. And you don't puff yourself up, but you just continually look down on them. You just start ridiculing them. You just think you're better than this person. Because what did this thing do? This balloon did nothing. Me representing God filled it with life. I made it what it is. It's all me. This thing did nothing. It just existed and allowed God to fill its life, right? But it thinks it's something awesome, like it achieved something, and it keeps looking down on everything and everything else. Well, it's only a matter of time before God is like, you know what? I got to put an end to this, right? And he comes along, and he's like, you know what? Buddy, you need to humble yourself. You're like, what do you mean humble? I am humble. I'm the humblest person that there ever was. Okay. That's what pride does. And it's not healthy. Thank you. But God created an incredible reality for us. There is a way for you to be lifted up and to be encouraged without shoving other people down. You see, in the world, that's the way this works. In pride, I lift myself up by shoving other people down. I'm better than you. I've achieved something that you haven't. But in the kingdom of God, he has called us to be what? Strong and, what did he tell Joshua? Courageous. He's called us to be encouragers. And so what God has given us is this tool that, yay! Yeah, we all float down here, right? You can lift others up, and the Bible says those who refreshes others are themselves refreshed. When you encourage other people and you lift them up, you are lifted up, and they are lifted up. And when we all come together in this thing that we call church, this is why we come together Sunday mornings, you're all lifted up. Isn't it awesome? Yeah! And that literally the sky is the limit unless you build a roof, you know? Yeah. But encouragement. And none of them are better than the others, right? They are different. They are unique. They have different talents, different gifts. They are different parts of the body of Christ. But when you come together and you encourage each other in those things, it's a beautiful thing. You're all lifted up and encouraged. Nobody is pushed down. And guess what happens? Together, we rise and we rise and we rise. And then we don't, but we have to choose not to look down on those who are not with us or for us. We reach out to them and we encourage them, right? And we fill them up and we lead them to Jesus who does that transforming work. So that's the opposite of pride. Selflessness, laying down yourself so that you can encourage and build other people up. Encouragement. I lay down me, Jesus raises my life up. It's just a powerful thing that happens. It's incredible what he does. I want you guys all to remember this. So, everybody gets a balloon today. Yeah. Woo. Tell you what, you jump and get it, you can have it. Yeah, sorry, kiddos. We'll get those down and give them to you at the end. Yes. So Jesus gave us this example, this illustration of healthy pride versus unhealthy pride. Now, it's written over and over and over again, cover to cover of the scriptures. But Jesus gave us this real clear example. And we find it here in Luke chapter 18. Because we want to live life well. We want to love well, right? God has called us to receive his love and to express it. And this is how we do that, as we lift each other up. However, it is so easy, once Jesus has changed your life, and once you start rising up, it is so easy for unhealthy pride to seep in. It just seeps in little by little. What's that process when like water goes through gravel? It leaches. It leaches in. Unhealthy pride can do this into our lives. And Jesus warned us about it. And this is a very, very simplistic illustration of it that we find here in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 9. He said, to some who were confident of their own righteousness Now, where did the righteousness come from? It came from Jesus. It came from God. These people that he was observing were faithful God followers. Now, this was before Jesus died and rose again, so they're Jewish, but these were people who were faithful to God. Their righteousness came from God, but pride seeped in, and they became confident of it as if though it was theirs, as if though they earned it, they deserved it, and that it was not a free gift. There's such a slight difference. Thank you very much. Such a slight difference. And the difference is just when we forgot who we were when Jesus found us, right? We forget that it was God who did everything good in my life. It's when we forget that reality. So Jesus said to some who are confident of their own righteousness and they look down on everyone else, Jesus told them this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And for those of you who don't know, Pharisees, they were essentially leaders in the Jewish culture. They were, you know, basically, they were sort of both leaders of the church and the government. They were one and the same. They were a monarchy, you know, in the nation of Israel. So a Pharisee, this is a guy that he was the cream of the crop. You know, whenever he was a child and he was learning, he continued to learn and he never stopped. And his trade became ministry. All right, so that's a Pharisee. The other was a tax collector who was not looked very highly upon. Tax collectors in general were viewed as thieves. They stole money from you and they lived lavishly. So we have these two people coming up, and they're both coming up to pray. Praise God, right? Right? We should get more excited about prayer in the church, all right? 9:30, prayer, don't miss it. Get back here, it's good times, we need it. Prayer, they came to pray. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed. Get this picture, he by himself, he separated himself from everyone else. And he prayed, God, I thank you. I'm not like the other people. I thank you that I'm not like them. They're robbers. They're evil. He's probably pointing them out, like, in his mind, but he sees their face, and he's like, I'm not like Jason, that robber, you know? Yeah, like, D, that evildoer. Like, Nate, that adulterer. I'm glad I'm not like... Glad I'm not like them. Or even like Jack, this tax collector here. I'm glad I'm not like them. It's literally what... You can read it for yourself. Luke 18 is literally how this guy prays. I thank you, God, that I'm not like any of them. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything I get. Right? And here's the... Then it sort of fades out of that picture, and it fades into the other picture. And then you have the tax collector on the other side. And it said that he also stood at a distance. He also separated himself from everyone else. It says he wouldn't even look up at heaven, but rather, he beat his breast. And he said, God, have mercy on me. I'm nothing but a sinner. Now, which one of them do you figure was righteous at the end of their prayer in the eyes of God? Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. Jesus said, I tell you that this man, this tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. Because everyone who exalts themselves, remember the balloon, they will be humbled. It's just a matter of time. They will be humbled. But those who humble themselves will be exalted. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Love is not proud. You see, Christianity, as we talked about, it's all about denying yourself. It's about laying yourself down. And that includes your opinions. I'm very strongly opinionated, and a lot of times I got to lay those down because they're not in agreement with what God has to say. I have opinions of people that God does not have of them because he sees their sin same as I do, but he sees way beyond that sin. He sees that person created in his image with a divine plan and purpose and destiny. God sees a person that his son gave his life for so that they could embrace those things. Christianity is all about encouraging people into those things. It's about following the example of Jesus. And what did he do? He laid down his life for the least of these. And I'm not just talking about the cross. Look at the way he actually lived. That tax collector, you know what Jesus would have done? He would have left the crowd hanging out with his church folk. He'd been like, hey, how's it going, buddy? Hey, can I pray for you? Is there something I can do to help you? He would have reached out to that person and offered himself up to them. And he could have cared less if anybody else was aware of it or saw it. It was all about, what can I do to help you? That's Christianity. Christianity, in a nutshell, is look at what you've been given freely. What can I do but to freely give it to others as well? What can I do but just freely offer up myself to other people? That's what Jesus did. And I'm telling you, nothing solves the issue of pride in our hearts faster than that reality check of what we've been freely given. We forget about this. Because the reality is, we were all, what? Sinners headed straight for hell. And every single one of us were very well deserving of it. We broke the law of God. I mean, it's just a reality. We all were deserving of it. And we say those words, but I'm telling you, we need to sense that reality sometimes. It's easy to say that we're all sinners saved by grace, but we need to understand really what our sin does to the heart of God, because it should grieve us as much as it grieves him. But out of his great love for us, Jesus wrapped himself in flesh, lived a sinless life, right, that none of us ever could. And you've all heard this message before. He overcame every temptation that we face every day. He overcame them, and then he willingly gave up his life on the cross. It was not stolen from him. It was not taken from him. He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He willingly gave his life, paying the penalty that we deserve when he didn't know it. Of course, we know he defeated death. He rose from the grave. He defeated death and sin entirely, that they could never touch him again. And then he chose to just freely give that away. Not just give you that pardon of your sin, that forgiveness of your sin, but he chose to fill your life like that balloon with the gift of the Holy Spirit. He chose to fill you with the same power that he walked in when he walked the face of the earth, so that you can be an overcomer. So that you don't have to succumb to temptation. Right? He's like, rise up, my child. This is you. This is who you are in me. Okay, that's you. Not this. Stop looking at the past and living there. This was yesterday. Okay, that's you now. Shine. Rise. You're a child of God. Nothing can stop you. Right? Yeah. Absolutely. We need to believe it more and more and more. We need to believe it. We need to get rid of this unhealthy pride and start embracing a healthy pride in our Jesus, in who he is and what he has done. We need to not be ashamed that we misrepresented him. I'm telling you, because of your sin and because of your flaws, that's how you can represent him fully. Because it's not about you. You're a cracked pot. You're a jar of clay. It's all about Jesus in you to be glorified and honored. It's not, you can be a failure and still be a perfect witness for Jesus. Every failure is a perfect witness for Jesus. Come on. Yeah. Think about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 26. He said, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God. You may not have been much of anything when Jesus found you. And you may think you're not much of anything right now. Well, I'm here to break off that lie and to reveal the word of God to you. But God, he chose you. He chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. You think you're weak in your faith? Do you think you're weak? It's okay. He chose you in your weakness so that he can be your strength. Right? God chose the lowly things of this world. He even chose the despised things. He even chose the things that are nothing to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It's because of him that you are in Christ Jesus. We all need that reminder this morning. What we are, it's because of him. It's because of him that we're even in Christ to begin with. He who called us. He who loved us enough to pursue us in our sin. He who is not ashamed of us when we walked away from him, not ashamed of us when we slapped him in the face, not ashamed of us when we denied him, he pursued us. The same way that he pursued Adam and Eve in the garden, the same way that he pursued Peter after he rose again, he's pursuing you this morning. You haven't run too far. He hasn't given up on you yet. He still trusts you. He still has hope for you. He still has a purpose for you. And he wants to fill your life to overflowing so that you can look like that and not so much like this anymore. And I want to encourage you, even if you looked like that and you became arrogant and prideful and now you kind of look like this, nothing's ever too far gone. God can put all the pieces together and fully restore you. There's no such thing as lost time in the kingdom of God. I'm convinced of it. Our kingdom is an eternal kingdom. No such thing as lost time. You can pick up from here forward and be right back on track where God wants you to be. It's not too late. It's not too late. And nothing is too far gone. And it says, it goes on in verse 30. It says, because of him, you're in Christ Jesus, has become for us the wisdom of God. That is, he has become for us our righteousness. He has become for us our holiness. He has become for us redemption. He is your righteousness. He is your wisdom. He is your holiness. He is your redemption. Jesus is all those things. And he is in you. That's why you are what you are and who Jesus calls you to be. And it says in verse 31, leading us to our last point, therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. We need to get bragging on our Jesus. Get bragging on your God. Because he still loves you, even though you blew it. He still loves you, even though you're living in sin. Now, I'm not saying you continue in those things, but he still loves you. Boast in him. Don't be ashamed of yourself. Be proud of him. It's a healthy pride. It's a healthy boast. Because we know that love is not proud, but the scripture also reminds us that love is not boastful. So here's how this works. Because we were just told in the Word of God to boast in the Lord. In fact, Paul even writes about wanting to be boastful of the church. He wants to be prideful about the body of Christ. Paul writes about these things. And so what's the difference? The issue here with boasting, it's solved at the very first point, our hearts. If we deal with the issue of pride, you deal with the issue of boasting automatically. That's why I'm just lumping them together. You deal with pride in your heart, you get your heart right with God, then the boast changes appropriately. It's the tail, not the head. Pride is the head. Boasting just follows. Because if I'm not thinking too highly of myself, I'm not going to have a tendency to talk excessively about myself and how great I am, right? If I don't think highly of myself, I'm not going to boast about myself. Because Jesus taught us this. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, Luke verse chapter 6, verse 45, that the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Your boasts are going to reveal your heart. And if you find yourself going around correcting everybody else, telling everybody else how to live their lives, you're on a slippery slope to destruction. The Bible calls it pride. If that's what your mouth is constantly talking about, how you need to get your life right, and you need to get you, right? What that is implying is that I am great. I have my life together. I don't have issues. You need to get yourself right, and then I'll be fine. It's a dangerous place to be. But if my heart is humble and not prideful or arrogant, if my heart is humble, and my heart, again, think of this balloon. If my heart is full of gratitude for what Jesus has done for me, if my heart is overflowing with his great love for me, that he loved me in the state that I was in, that he doesn't give up on me in the state that I am in, that he just keeps pursuing me, he keeps chasing me, he keeps giving me opportunity after opportunity, then my mouth is going to be full of boasts in him. Talking about how awesome he is. I may be a loser and I may need to get my life straight, but he's awesome. And he hasn't given up on me yet. And he still keeps hoping and believing and trusting me. My mouth is not going to be boasting about what I've accomplished or how great I am. It's going to be boasting about how awesome my God is and how awesome the works are that he's done in my life. It's all about him, him, him. And it's okay to boast in Jesus. That's what we're to boast about. Not me, but Christ in me. Not me, but who my God is and what He is able to do with a life. And so if we're going to speak, let's speak words that boast in the greatness of our God and about how great He is. If we're going to speak, let our words be encouraging so that we lift one another up. When you lift someone else up, you also are lifted up and encouraged. And together you rise above the snare of the enemy. Don't you love that picture? When the enemy lays out a trap and a snare, every word found in the Word of God, and this is just the Holy Spirit's revealing it now, so bear with me, that I can think of at least here and now, these are all ground traps. They're all ground traps and snares that entangle and ensnare. When you encourage one another and you lift each other up, you're risen above those things. They have no hold on you. So if you and somebody else is struggling in the snare of the enemy, in this trap of the enemy, use the weapon God has given you. Courage! Encourage one another. Lift them up. Don't look down on them because they're trapped. And don't talk to them, well, you know why you're in this trap, right? It's because you did this. It's because you did that. Well, if you wouldn't do this, what does that do? That keeps us down here. Encourage them. You know what? You got this. That's nothing. That little snare, it's a mere flesh wound. Anybody ever see Monty Python? Yeah. Mere flesh wound. So we ought to be in the body of Christ, even though you're looking at them, you're like, oh dear Lord, what are you going to do here? What are you going to do to fix this? Outside, be courageous, be bold, you know, be the voice of the Holy Spirit and speak encouragement. And together you lift one another up so the enemy has no touch on you, no reach. So together you reach your fullness in Christ, right? Let our words be words of life, words that build up and encourage one another. Isn't that what Ephesians teaches us? To let only those words come forward. Let's be the voice of God in each other's lives because we so desperately need it. And essentially what the call is this morning is just love one another. Love is not prideful or boastful in the negative sense. Love is prideful in a healthy sense of who you are in Jesus. Love is boastful in a healthy sense of who our God is. So let's brag on Him. Let's close in prayer here. So Jesus, thank You for Your great unfailing love for us that nothing can separate us from. Thank You for not being ashamed of us and for hiding from us. Thank You for Your healthy pride in us that we are Your child. Even though we may screw up in this life, You are not ashamed of us. So right now, Jesus, in the life, actually in my life, and just make this your own prayer, in my life, Jesus, I break off shame and condemnation. I break off every lie of the enemy saying that I'm not good enough, that I've screwed up too badly, that I'm not who I'm supposed to be, and I know it. We break off those lies of the enemy. And we just embrace Your truth, Jesus, that it's not over yet. That You are proud of Your child. That You love Your child, me, so much. That You would give anything to lift us up, to embrace us, and to take us into our future. Full of hope, full of life. Jesus, help us to be ones who speak words of encouragement and life. Help us to be ones that are proud of our brothers and sisters in Christ in a healthy way. To be ones who boast in You continuously. Let Your boasts, Jesus, be in our hearts, on our minds, and out our mouths, Jesus. Let You alone be lifted high and glorified as You continue to work in my life. And thank You for not giving up on me, Jesus. In Your name, amen.